Let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There are ways in which people make you learn things in an enjoyable fashion, and one of those things is going to be happening pretty soon. The Freight, formerly known as Freight and Salvage, is going to be putting on what they like to call a free education community festival. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome PC Munoz and Jen Moser. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, DJ Marilyn. Thanks for having us.
So first of all, tell me a little bit about the change from Freight and Salvage to The Freight.
Yeah, so we've been called, colloquially, we've been called The Freight for a long time, right?
Oh, okay.
And we just went for it completely. Last year, 2025, mm-hmm. We rebranded along with our new mission and vision.
Mm-hmm.
So it was part of that whole initiative, our expansion into the future, just lopping off the salvage. Some people still thought we were a salvage yard.
Oh, okay.
And also we had the word coffee house in our name for a bit. Okay. Some people thought we were a cafe. So just taking off to the Freight, which is how the Bay Area really calls us, and running with that.
And what's the new mission statement?
Well, a lot of it has to do with doubling down on global roots music.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, the Freight's been known in the past as like country and bluegrass.
Okay.
And we started expanding, you know, quite a few years ago. We started booking more different types of music and things. And mm-hmm. this new mission and vision doubles down on that.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. And who drove that change?
Well, we have an executive director named Clayton Shelvin who came on board in late 2023.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a big part of that and this... We had a big staff turnover around the same time and kind of all joined that. I was formerly the director of education. I became the director of programming in early 2025.
All right. Well, that dovetails into this. It seems like it's a new thing you guys are doing. Tell me a little bit about this free education community festival.
Yeah, Jen's got this.
Yeah. So we received a generous grant from the city of Berkeley to mm-hmm. put on a free festival for our community, and we thought no better way to celebrate our programming as with our education programming. So we do have a robust network of education programs,
mm-hmm.
including classes, workshops, jams, community events, community chorus, as well as what I consider to be our crown jewel, which is our in-school education program called Golden State of Song that unites fourth grade California history curriculum
uh-huh.
with the history of music in our state. So we'll be presenting all of these programs at this free festival on Saturday, July 11th.
Okay, I want to hear more about this fourth grade combining the curriculum with music history. So what does that entail? Like, how does that work? Like, if I were a fourth grader, what would you tell me?
So we have five different modules currently up and running, and we'll be adding a sixth very soon
uh-huh.
that talks about major events in California's history, and we unite it with music. So our first module was about World War II Japanese incarceration
mm-hmm.
and how traditional music survived within these incarceration camps
okay.
and how they also used traditional instruments to practice contemporary music.
Oh, okay.
So while you're hearing traditional Japanese music, such as the song Sakura on the Koto, you're also playing a song called Don't Fence Me In. And so while we present these to these fourth graders, we then ask them, like, why do you think they would want to sing the song Don't Fence Me In while they're in these incarceration camps? And another uniting factor is that our anchor artist for this module, Shirley Marimoto, her mother was in the camps mm-hmm. and was these fourth graders' age. Her mom was 9 years old. So she gets to talk about this very, like, unique, relatable story to these students.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to put themselves in her mother's shoes I'm a fourth grader and I'm in an incarceration camp. What is this experience like for me? And they see photos of her. They hear the music that she would have listened to. And they get to unite that experience to their own and to what's going on in the United States today. Like, these are the issues that we're dealing with.
How long have you guys been doing that separate from the brand new festival?
Oh, gosh. When did the program start?
We piloted it in 2021 to test it out. Then we started embedding it into Berkeley Unified, I think, in 2022.
Uh-huh.
And then we started branching it out. At that point, we only had that one module. Like Jen mentioned, we have a bunch. We also have one that focuses on Ohlone song practices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We have one that focuses on kind of the importance of Indian music here in California. South Asian Indian music, with the School of Music up in Marin. And then we have the United Farm Workers module, which is brand new, because that movement had a house songwriter.
Oh,
Augustine,
really?
Lida, yeah. And so there's a whole bunch of repertoire around that movement.
Okay.
That one's just finished, just about to be in the schools. And then we have someone working on the Great Migration module right now, and we're hoping to launch that in the fall as well.
So, okay, so with something like the Great Migration module, how do you determine what songs you're going to use for that? Are you using songs that were written in California? Are you using the songs that sort of represent the theme? How do you formulate that module?
That's a great question. So in this particular case of the module you're talking about, the artist that we engaged to create it, her name is Michelle Jacques, and she has the whole story embedded in her family, coming from Louisiana to here.
Okay.
So her particular creation of the module focuses on both her family's journey and also how Black folks from the South bringing roots music and bringing everything to the East Bay that becomes the blues, clubs in the East Bay, turns into funk, turns into the genesis of Bay Area hip hop, things like that.
Okay.
So it sort of traces that, how that music came to the East Bay,
and then
eventually came all over here and became part of the Bay Area sound. It's
and
exciting.
And I love that too, because when you traditionally think of the Great Migration, you think of sort of like the Dust Bowl, the Okies, but this is like, there are other migrations that happened that were very formative.
Yeah.
So we talk about that. First, why did you guys decide to do a free education community festival?
Yeah, I mean, we have so many programs that often don't seem to be recognized because people think of us as a concert venue.
Okay.
A lot of our audience has no idea that we do these programmings because, for example, Golden State of Song happens behind closed doors in a private school setting.
Okay.
We don't share photos of, students
for
privacy reasons.
Right.
And so this is a really big opportunity to, shout about the program and welcome the broader community, the parents, the families, the people who know the freight to come in and really learn what we're doing, because they know that there's an education program, but they're not sure if it's limited to just our in-house classes that are primarily for adults. We do welcome all ages to those, but historically it's been adults. So it's, just an opportunity to really engage the community, welcome families, show them that, yes, we've had a little bit of a facelift, we've had a little bit of a rebrand, but we are still really united to this mission of inspiring creativity, sharing global music, and welcoming everybody here.
Okay.
And Jen and I are really excited that we get to present Golden State of Song at the Freight, because like they said, it's typically out in the schools. And Jen's running around making sure all that's happening, in Marin, in Berkeley, in Vallejo. And, our coworkers are like, well, it'd be nice to see that, And this is a great opportunity for people to see the stuff that's happening in all these school districts and have educators and students experience it right in our home.
Okay. So how long is this festival?
Yes, so events start at noon on July 11th, and then they wrap up with our community chorus performance at 4:30. That's the end of their presentation.
Oh, okay, so a nice little afternoon.
And
then, so once again, for our listening audiences, what are the different modules or programs that they're going to be able to see and bring their kids to and bring anyone to at this festival?
Yes. So starting at noon, we will be presenting our newest Golden State of Song module called Sonic Tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
That is the history of Indian music in California. So this debuted this past spring.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited to present that. We'll also have a country bluegrass jam going on at the same time upstairs. Followed by, we have then our World War II Japanese Incarceration Golden State of Song presentation in our showroom. Mm-hmm. We'll also be having a family Zydeco workshop. So musically curious folks of all ages are welcome to join that and mm-hmm. bop around, just mm-hmm. experience something new. One of our anchor teachers, Zoe Ellis, will be having a singing class. We find our choral options do very well. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also be wrapping up with our Hip Hop is Folk Music Cypher. Okay. That is one of our initiatives here at the Freight. And then we also, the last one is our Freight Singers Community Chorus concert.
Okay. So when you guys are in the schools doing it for the kids, what kind of responses do you get from the children?
Oh, yeah. We get a wide variety of, you know, students who aren't sure what they're hearing, who don't know the history of this yet. So oftentimes we're that first point of contact of like, hey, this has happened locally. This okay. has happened here. This is the history of our state.
Okay.
So they're very curious and like we'll grapple with it a little bit, like trying to understand like what exactly happened, like why does this matter? Also, what are these strange instruments that we're seeing? Like, mm-hmm. what do you mean I'm doing Indian vocal percussion? What is that? How I can do that with my voice? Oh. I don't understand.
Uh-huh.
We've also had really great responses from students who have seen the Japanese koto and don't know what it is, but they're like, wait, I saw that in my mom's closet. Can you tell me more about that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, why is this important? Like, what is the history here? How can I learn more about this? Like, can you guys give me lessons? All like a wide variety of these kind of responses.
And do you ever find that whatever's in the cultural zeitgeist, like, for example, what's that one, K-pop Demon Hunters, like when those things sort of come around, you get a much more heightened interest or maybe a curiosity about things that they saw that they didn't understand?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And students are not shy to request that we play certain songs okay. that maybe our artists don't know, like Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay.
We've gotten that a couple times.
Uh-huh.
But we do pepper in some more pop music in there. Like we've had Bruno Mars, Count on Me, played on the koto or on the shamisen.
Okay.
And yeah, students are excited to hear these new instruments and like want to unite it at home with what they've heard as well.
And then for the both of you, what is a program that you want to make sure, each of you get to weigh in, what you want to make sure that people know about that maybe doesn't get the, you know, the high profile eyeballs that other programs you have get?
Yeah, PC?
Wow. well, perennially, it's always Golden State of Song, right? Because it is definitely our main education program. And like I said, there's still a bunch of Freight audience folks and Freight colleagues that don't know too much about it. We also have another program called Community Mondays, which is an opportunity for people to use our lobby stage, which was built in 2025, as a way for up-and-coming artists and local poets and artists who can't fill our showroom to be able to participate at the Freight. Because our, you know, our big room is 450. It's hard to fill, but we do have the small lobby stage. So on Mondays, Community Monday events, that's when we bring in, you know, smaller emerging artists and be able to program them there. So I'm hoping people learn both about Golden State of Song and Community Mondays. And I'm sure Jen has other thoughts too.
How about you, Bian?
Yeah, I would also say Community Mondays because we just finished our first year of Community Monday programming.
Mm-hmm.
So people are still learning about it. And, you know, it's a Monday night. Sometimes it's difficult to get people to come out. So the more people know about that, the better. The other one I would say is Hip Hop is Folk Music, because we are starting to program a lot more hip hop shows at the Freight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a chance to unite it in our mission to, you know, share global roots music and, you know, assert that hip hop is actually folk music. Like, this is a very important part of our collective musical history in the United States. And it is a form of storytelling and community building. So I'm really excited for that cipher that they're presenting.
Okay. And then for people who hear about the programs who maybe want you to go to their schools or something like that, how do they go about doing that once they've heard about it?
So there's a couple different ways. We will both be there. They can talk to me in person.
Uh-huh.
We also do have our Golden State of Song website where we have an inquiry form available where folks can email us there.
Okay.
Or they're welcome to email info@thefreight.org and it will reach one of us. So we'll be able to talk with them about the programs and see how we can fit into their schools.
Okay. Now let's reiterate for our listening audience when and where and what time.
Yes. So the festival is going to be on July 11th from noon to 4:30 p.m. in downtown Berkeley.
Okay.
At 2020 Addison Street.
Okay. And how close is that to like a BART station?
Oh, it is right off of BART.
Super close,
we
yeah.
are
oh,
okay. one block from the downtown Berkeley BART station, so it's very accessible.
Okay. And then do people, since it's a free event, do they need to get tickets or can they just show up or how does it work?
Yes, we would love if you register on our website, but if you don't have time for that, you can just show up day of and we will have a ticket printed and ready for you, your entire family, your neighbors, and your friends.
And what's the website?
Thefreight.org.
Okay. And then if people wanted to, after they see this program, they're suddenly inspired and they maybe want to either suggest a program or volunteer their services, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, PC.
Same thing. If the email info@thefreight.org, it'll reach the right person. If they want to volunteer, if they'd like to get involved in some other way, if they email that address, it'll get to the right person.
Okay. And then if people want to find out more about what the two of you do or just stalk you on the down low, how would they go about doing that?
Same thing. Thefreight.org has all the information, all the concerts that are coming up, all the education programs, all the different things that we're offering. A thorough look at the website and also the Golden State of Song website, which is goldenstateofsong.com.
Okay. And after you've done this particular concert, do you have anything on the horizon?
So we do have a few events coming up in September. We have our We Belong sing-along hosted by our instructor, Tamsin Finn, and that is a sing-along focusing on music uniting our community and also uniting the larger Bay Area community in these times of political unrest.
Mm-hmm.
That same day, we do have a harmonica workshop with Aki Kumar, who is locally known as the King of Bollywood Blues. He's a really wonderful instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, PC, do you want to mention anything?
Yeah, I want to mention our concert series called One Song All Night.
Okay.
So we do a concert series called One Song All Night where we have five different Bay Area artists reimagine a single song over a given night.
Ooh.
Wildly different genres. So we started with Prince's Kiss back in last fall. We did Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Martin Luther came and just killed his version at that. And we're coming up, we have Fleetwood Mac's Dreams, which will be October 25th with all kinds of really wonderful artists.
I love that. And so, and when's that again?
That's October 25th.
Okay. And then one more time for our listening audience, when and where for the Free Education Community Festival?
Yes, that will be July 11th at The Freight in downtown Berkeley from noon to 4:30 p.m.
Excellent. Well, Jen, PC, I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out what all they are doing at The Freight. And since you mentioned Don't Fence Me In, I got Ella Fitzgerald to sing it for you. So let's just do it.
Mighty pale was standing by the sheriff's side, and when the sheriff said, "I'm sending you to jail," Wildcat raised his head and cried, "Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Thank you. again in town was sitting by his sweetheart's side. And when his sweetheart said, come on, let's settle down, Wildcat raised his head and cried, oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you, please, don't fence me in.
That's Ella Fitzgerald and Don't Fence Me In. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. There's so much going on and happening in and around town. One of those things that's going to be happening is the annual High Sierra Festival. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Dave Margolis. Welcome.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I'm in Grass Valley. We're setting up for the 34th annual High Sierra Music Festival. We're on site and we're moving in. The festival begins here at the Nevada County Fairgrounds this coming Thursday through Sunday. It's our annual 4-day gathering and the weather is looking fantastic. So things are going well with setup right now.
Now, is that where you normally do your festival?
So we have been... This is our first year in Grass Valley, and it is a spectacular facility. The Nevada County Fairgrounds is home to a lot of music festivals, and with good reason, because it's an incredibly desirable festival, immaculately well-kept, beautiful, beautiful green lawns and beautiful tall sugar pine trees that provide a lot of shade in the campgrounds and all over site. But we were in Plumas County in Quincy, California for the last 25 years.
Wow.
So this is a big change for us. And, you know, the reason for that is because it's, well, if you're considering coming from the Bay Area, you don't have a 4.5-hour drive. You've got a 2.5-hour drive. So people can now come for the day to enjoy the festival, or they can come for a weekend. But there was also no available lodging options where we were prior. And Grass Valley and Nevada City have a lot of hotels and a lot of Airbnbs and, beautiful campgrounds, too, dotting the vicinity. So in addition to being able to camp on site, you've got a lot of different lodging options. So that was really the main reason why we decided to move. Proximity and accessibility.
Got it. So tell me a little bit about the High Sierra Festival. What does it entail? Is it all music? Is it music and dancing? Is it circus acts?
So
what is it?
It's a really unique, eclectic gathering for 4 days of an incredible community. The festival has developed organically over 34 years. So what started as a small music festival with a main stage and a side stage has evolved into 6 stages. We have acoustic singer-songwriter troubadour sessions after the main stage shuts down. We have a bigger late-night hall that functions as a standalone nightclub. We've got a community stage for up-and-coming acts. We have an amazing family village that has magnificent family-oriented performers like bubble magic and magicians and crafts and daily parades. There's a kids parade on Sunday that the kids participate in. They dress up and they're involved in that parade. They lead the parade. They are the parade on that day. We've got yoga. We've got drum workshops with a group called Rhythmetrics that does really great mindfulness drumming. Collective drumming. We've got late night silent disco on our lawn because our main stage closes at 11 o'clock. There's an ordinance for amplified music needing to be over by 11. So that's where our late night takes over, and our various indoor stages, and then also silent disco for those who want to stay outside and move their bodies.
Now, what's silent disco?
And then there's been a tradition that has started many, many years ago that is High Sierra lore by now. And one day someone decided after a late night show let out, maybe it's like 5:30 in the morning and the sun was coming up, someone broke out a kickball, and High Sierra Sunrise Kickball was born. So that has become something that people look forward to, they consider it a badge of honor if you happen to make Sunrise Kickball, whether you're just getting up at the crack of dawn or if you're staying up and playing through all night long. But to get to Sunrise Kickball is quite an amazing sight to behold. So there's a lot going on. You know, people bring the best of who they are to the High Sierra Music Festival. Artists and our array of vendors, both craft and food vendors, our 400 volunteers, our community of passionate music lovers, all of our performers. It's a really, really special event. And it's happening July 4th weekend, as it always has, July 2nd through 5th in the Nevada County Fairgrounds. And anybody out there, if you're interested in learning more about High Sierra, finding out who's playing, highsierramusic.com has all the information. We've got an incredibly diverse lineup. I think KPOO listeners would be interested in people like Steel Pulse, the OG reggae band coming over from the UK. The Word with Robert Randolph and the North Mississippi All-Stars. Old school funkster Simonde are going to be playing with us as well. We've got about 9 or 10 acts from New Orleans, including Dumpster Funk, and the Rumble and the Trombone Shorty Foundation Band, Anders Osborne. So New Orleans will be well represented. We've got some Bay Area, a lot of Bay Area artists, Smoked Out Soul, who many listeners, KPOO, might be familiar with, and Lebo, who played a lot with Phil Lesh and his band ALO, will be with us. So there's a lot of variety. We've got bluegrass singer-songwriters, electronic music, a lot of funk and soul, as I mentioned. Don Was and his Pan Detroit Ensemble will be doing a set with us on Sunday evening. So Carl Denson's Tiny Universe. It's a fantastic, fantastic lineup. We've got over 65 bands playing, as I mentioned, on 6 different stages. So you can come for a day and see what High Sierra is all about, or there's camping available where you can come for multi-days.
So I'm going to ask a question that I asked that you didn't hear, which is, what is silent disco?
So silent disco is, it's so funny to see if you're not wearing headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you do is you go get a pair of headphones and they have 3 different channels, 3 different DJs, and you're wearing headphones, so there's no music playing out loud because we have the sound ordinance. So the only music, it's just in your headphones. So there's a sea of people wearing headphones dancing on a lawn. But if you just walk upon it, all you see is people dancing, but you can't hear any music because you're not wearing the headphones. It's hilarious to participate in and to witness. It's a really popular event at High Sierra, and that happens late at night, and that usually lends itself to the morning sunrise kickball. So they'll go after hours. Silent disco will go late in the night. But it's a lot of fun. And as I said, there's DJs programming the various channels, and you have headphones where you can choose the channel that you want to be on.
So what kind of response have you gotten from people who've sort of wandered across it not knowing what's going on?
On the silent disco?
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I ever stumbled upon it years and years ago, I was so intrigued. I had to get some headphones. I had to step in and get some headphones and participate in it because it's hilarious. It's really fun.
Awesome.
You know the expression "dance like nobody's watching."
Right.
Well, you can do that because everybody's watching, but nobody knows what you're listening to. So nobody knows if you're on the beat or off the beat.
Right.
You're moving to your music in your headphones. It's really fun.
Okay, so tell our listening audience again when and where.
Yeah, it's in the Nevada County Fairgrounds this coming weekend, Thursday through Sunday, July 2 through 5. And I encourage people to check out the website, highsierramusic.com. But mm-hmm. I also encourage your listeners who are civic-minded and good people and community-minded people to check out our 501c3, the High Sierra Foundation, mm-hmm. which is highsierrafoundation.org. We do a lot of good work in the community, and we have a workforce program that we're working with this year with a group called Women's Audio Mission, where we're taking underserved women. That group takes underserved women and teaches them audio skills, and mm-hmm. we're having them at the festival this year, so they'll be getting hands-on opportunities to mix live bands. We have an Emerging Artist Award that we established this year that the recipient is 16-year-old River Eckert, who is a piano protege in the James Booker Professor Longhair Dr. John legacy of New Orleans piano players. He's going to be with us performing, and we're going to be awarding him the first ever Emerging Artist Scholarship. So we also have a great wellness program for artists in with sobriety meetings and vision care and chiropractic services that we're working on through an organization called Backline, as well mm-hmm. As Harbor House, who has helped funding that program. So just encourage people to kind of drop in and learn a little about the High Sierra Foundation and the High Sierra Music Festival. It's a great big community event.
So tell our listening audience again where online they can go to find out more about the event.
Yes, highsierramusic.com for the festival and highsierrafoundation.org for the nonprofit work.
Okay. And then is there an act that's playing that you want to make sure that people see who maybe don't, an act that doesn't have the same high profile that some of the other acts have?
Gosh, you know, there's quite a few. I would say there's a band from Colombia named Balthus, which is spelled B-A-L-T-H-V-S.
Mm.
I would call them more of a psychedelic groove instrumental band for mm-hmm. the most part. Really sexy, kind of in that Kruongbin vein. But people should pay attention to them. They'll be with us for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the group Simonde from the 70s, who are, you know, they're gold for DJs and crate diggers, right? Like, I think they put out two records in the 70s, and it's just it's nice, laid back, jazzy, Caribbean funk.
Very cool.
And they're going to be with us. Those guys are in their late 60s, early 70s now, but they're still laying down beautiful grooves. So I encourage people to check them out. And we've got so many great singer-songwriters that will be with us this weekend. There's an up-and-coming singer-songwriter from Canada named Boy Golden, mm-hmm. who is getting a lot of attention, and deservedly so, that people should check out. There's also a woman named Molly Obamsawin, who leads a group called Beer Lady. It's kind of a jazz, avant-garde jazz trio mm-hmm. from the Boston area, who are really exciting. We've got a group from Australia called Tijuana Cartel, who I have never seen live, but from the videos I've seen of them, it's quite a spectacle to take on. And there's an up-and-coming fingerstyle guitar player from Nashville, a young woman named Maisie Owen, who I also highly, highly recommend for people to check out. We're just kind of dropping into some of the lesser-known names.
Sure.
But you can take a look at the entire lineup on highsierramusic.com and learn more about the High Sierra Music Festival this July 2nd through 5th here in Grass Valley, California, which is about 2.5 hours from the Bay Area. So accessible and easy to do in a day, but there are camping options available if you'd like to stay overnight.
Okay. I love it.
Looking forward to seeing everybody up here.
All right. So you mentioned that there's camping opportunities. How, if people want to get tickets, where do they go, or can they show up and purchase tickets?
Yeah, you can definitely just drop in. to the box office, which will be open to all festival long. But if you want to get tickets in advance, which is cheaper to do it that way, because the advance tickets are slightly cheaper than day of show tickets, they can be found. There's a purchase button on the homepage of the website, which is highsierramusic.com.
Excellent, excellent. Is there anything else you want to leave our listening audience with?
You know, I know the listeners of KPOO, myself being one of them, are deep, deep music appreciators. And the High Sierra Music Festival is, it's a musician's festival, but it's for people who are really passionate about music and mm-hmm. dig music. There's something for everybody there, and the quality is always exceptional. So you can't go wrong. I mean, you asked about some of the things. I could mention every band on this lineup because it's that good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate you and love the station.
All right. Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out a whole bunch of bands. We love the music. And since he mentioned BALTHVS, I'm going to play a little bit of something. This is called Sun Colored Eyes. This is Sun Colored Eyes from Balthus, BALTHVS. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. It's the last Monday of the month, and you know what that means? It means I get to have a librarianista here to talk about what's going to be going on all next month. Here, my librarianista du jour is the big kahuna, the one who makes sure I always have amazing librarianistas. So it's always a delight when she's able to be on the show. I'd like to welcome the lovely and talented Janine Moganum. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me on again.
Thank you for being on the show again. So, Janine, do you even know how long we've been doing this?
Gosh, at least 10 years, I would think.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So Janine, yeah. For those of you who don't know, she's at our local branch, which is the Western Edition branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Tell us a little bit about what distinguishes the Western Edition branch from all the other branches, because I know each of them has their own kind of specialty.
Yes, that is true. Oh, my gosh. Well, the Western Edition branch is, again, my home branch. Beautiful branch. It was built in or opened around 1966. So we just had our 60th anniversary celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that distinguishes the branch physically, a couple things. One, there are many, many windows, like not quite floor to ceiling, but very tall windows in the branch that let in so much light.
Mm-hmm.
And people often comment on how pleasant it is to sit and read and just like kind of be bathed in the light
mm-hmm.
When they're reading. We also have a beautiful courtyard garden that is really lovely for just hanging out, like having, you know, conversations, and we do some of our story times out there. So those are a couple notable physical attributes of the branch. And then in terms of our collections, being that we are the neighborhood branch for Western Edition, which mm-hmm. encompasses the historical Fillmore district in Japantown, we have a large Black interest collection of all genres of literature. We have a large Japanese interest collection as well as a large Japanese language collection. It's actually the largest in Northern California. We also have a more moderate sized Russian language collection
mm-hmm.
To serve all the Russian speakers in the neighborhood as well. And of course, beautiful children's section. Not to brag, I am the children's librarian, but it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And a teen section, teen area as well. So we have something for everyone, for sure.
Very cool, very cool. Now the month is fast. The month of July is fast drawing on us. So, what is going to be happening in the coming weeks at the library that you want to make sure our listeners know about?
Oh, yeah. So, one thing that I really would love to point out is on Saturday, July 11th,
mm-hmm.
At 11:30 a.m., we're going to have a performance by the renowned, legendary storyteller Kirk Waller,
mm-hmm.
who shares African and African-American folk tales, legends, and history, just bringing them alive with music, movement, singing, spoken word, is kind of a Renaissance man. And this is for all ages, and it's going to be like a wonderful kind of intergenerational program, which we love to do at our branch.
Okay, so that's definitely at the Western Edition branch.
Yes, at Western Edition, Saturday, July 11th at 11:30 a.m.
And do people need to register in advance, or can they just show up?
Not for that program. No, they could just show up.
Oh, excellent. Okay, go on.
Yeah. All right, I will. we're also going to be hosting, on the children's side,
mm-hmm.
We're offering a magic show with Terry Yan. He's an accomplished and award-winning magician. And he's going to be offering sort of a combination of magic, comedy, and storytelling.
Okay.
That is technically a children's program for children and their caregivers, but anyone is welcome to come and enjoy the magic. And that'll be on Thursday, July 8th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And again, you don't need to sign up for that.
Excellent, excellent. What else is going on? You're batting 2 for 2.
Oh, yes, I can. So something that I think is like really unique that I've never seen before at the library is an introduction to the world of mime.
Ooh.
So, like a miming program, yes. And that's also at Western Addition Branch, Saturday, July 25th at 2 p.m. And basically the director and mime artist, I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Jamin Jolo, will be presenting a workshop for everyone, whether your flavor is acting, dancing, movement, or just you're curious to find out more about miming and unlock your imaginative potential, you can come to the Introduction to the World of Mime. And that does require a reservation. Space is limited, so you can call Western Addition Branch starting July 1st at 415-355-5727 to sign up.
Now, MIME seems to be made for libraries because in the old days you used to have to be really quiet in libraries, so it seems like it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup, like mimes in libraries.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does seem quite appropriate, although the library is less of like a silent place than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, we have a little more excitement these days, a little more kind of flavor in our programming and our offerings. But yes, this is quite appropriate for a library.
All right. So what else you got going on? Because, you know, you're a gold mine.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I can keep going. So something that I think maybe some folks don't know about, this is not at Western Addition Branch, but this is going on at different locations all summer long, is our Children's Bookmobile is doing something called the Summermobile. And that is sort of, they make weekly stops to 4 different locations throughout the city. They kind of do stories and offer a chance to browse the bookmobile, check out materials, and just engage with the library in different and unexpected locations. And that's going through August 13th.
So how do people find out where it's going to be on any given week?
Great question. So the schedule is consistent week by week. If you log on to the library's website, or not log on, but navigate to the library's website, sfcl.org, and then takes a bit of navigating, but you can click on our location, and then bookmobiles, and then it'll give you the option to click on Summermobile 2026. And the various locations are the JFK Promenade on Mondays from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunset Dunes on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
Presidio Tunnel Top on Wednesdays from 10 to 12 p.m.
Nice.
And if folks haven't been there yet, I highly recommend visiting the Tunnel Top.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then Glen Canyon Park on Thursdays from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Now, just as out of my own curiosity, what do you do with this summer reading program for kids and adults? Just out of curiosity.
So we're in full swing of Summer Stride. That is our traditionally in the past has been called summer reading. Now we call it like the summer learning program, because we encourage people of all ages to read, listen, and learn and explore throughout the summer. So basically, the main challenge is to read listen, learn, and attend library programs for mm-hmm. 20 hours over the summer. So mm-hmm. that's through the end of August. Mm-hmm. And when you track your progress, either virtually on our platform called Beanstack or manually on a paper tracker that we can provide you at the library. Mm-hmm. Once you've gotten through your 20 hours, you can come back to the library and get your summer ride prize, which is a tote bag, as usual. Mm-hmm. This year's illustrator is Nidhi Chanani, a local author and illustrator, mm-hmm. and she's designed a beautiful tote bag image for us with one of our cable cars and various little animals riding mm-hmm. and reading on the cable car.
Do audiobooks count?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Every type of book and reading and listening counts, as well as coming to library programs counts as well. If someone reads to you, that also counts.
Okay.
So we're just encouraging people to do what they can to just continue with their literacy and their learning.
Well, last month when you guys came, one of the people just, they had this basket like Mary Poppins, and every time they'd mention something, they'd pull something out. And so I actually got a couple of books from them, and one of them was Hamnet, and I loved it. I listened to the audiobook, so I'm going to chalk that up as a win for me. I'm that much closer to getting myself a tote bag. So what else is going on?
Let's see.
Or what's a program that happens at your library that you feel like you want more people to know about that maybe they don't?
Ooh, that's a good question. Something that folks probably don't know about yet, although the audience has definitely been building for it, is we have been having a weekly Tai Chi program for beginners.
Okay.
It's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m., from 1 to 2 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
and the instructor's name is Richard Fong, and it's for all levels, but especially for beginners, and it's just a way to get some movement and learn about Tai Chi, which is a slow and gentle moving form of exercise and meditation,
mm-hmm.
and get to know your neighbors and enjoy some time in our beautiful garden.
Excellent, excellent. And so when is that again?
That's Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m.
And do you need to sign up in advance?
No.
Excellent. I love these things where you can just show up, because some of us are just poor planners. I'm just asking for a friend. Now, we just have a couple more minutes, so do you have any more programs you want to let our listeners know about while I've got you captive?
Ooh. Let's see. Well, some folks may not know that some of the branches are doing lunch at the library during the summer.
Okay.
Specifically, the main library.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for children, children and teens ages 0 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
So each day, Monday through Friday, through August 16th, children, like I said, ages 0 to 18 can come and get a free lunch. Space is limited, but there are no signups. It's mm-hmm. just first come, first serve.
Okay.
And if folks want to come on the second Wednesday of every month, so the next one of those would be July 8th.
Okay.
They can also attend a yoga program at 11:30, hosted by It's Yoga Kids.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And again, the lunch is only for children,
mm-hmm.
Caregivers obviously are welcome to come be with their children in the library and enjoy the Children's Center, and that's at the main library on the Children's Center on the second floor.
Excellent. Well, Janine Moghanim, I want to thank you so much, not just for being on the show today, but for providing me with Librarianistas every single month. I see you, and I am so grateful to you, because the listeners just love knowing what's going on at the library, and it makes me happy, and it makes them happy. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. I love partnering with you, and as always, being on KPOO.
Excellent. All right, people of Earth, the library is awesome. I don't need to say much more. What I do need to say is Mr. Ford will be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.